You are now listening to Carly's Couch.
I'm Carly.
And I'm Lex.
In this podcast, we discuss a wide array of topics about life and how to live your best life.
Whatever that looks like for you.
Hope y'all enjoy.
This week on Carly's Couch, we talked to Alexia about her recent exploration at a silent retreat.
Namaste.
Happy Monday.
Hi, happy Monday. Welcome back, everybody.
Or whatever day it is.
We are feeling great. Hope you're blessed.
We are so happy to. She turned into a hotep, if y'all didn't notice.
That's crazy, because I did.
she texted me Grand Rising the other day, and I just knew.
But this has been a. Damn, I should put my unk on. This has been a 3-month process. Not hotep, though. I don't want y'all to get the wrong idea, because I do not. I do not rock the hotep.
Subscribe to that those
right,
ideals.
Because they be walling.
But she does, in
I
fact.
I am all about peace and love.
She does, in fact, say Grand Rising.
No, I don't. No. I don't say nothing to nobody in the morning. If you're a Damo mom, I'll be like, good morning.
But anyways, so in this episode, we're going to get into Alexia's silent retreat. But first, we will get into this week's question from the couch, which was?
Choose one of your tattoos. What's the story behind it? You got a lot of good answers, because I only got one, and then I didn't even put it on this because it was whack. But I'm going to ask you, too, what is, how many tattoos do you have?
Four.
What is the story behind the one that's like, there's a purple one? What is it?
Yep. It's agape.
I was about to say grape. But no, it is agape. Yo, okay.
Yeah, it's agape.
Yeah, what's the story behind that one?
And it's purple and it's a flower. And so I want everything that I do to be of love. Like, I want to just be an example of unconditional love. And for all y'all people, within reason, all of that to say, but, like, I really hope that my life and all the things that I'm doing are a testimony to love. And, like, what it means to, like, love others and love yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm like, why not get it tatted? I was laughing because I forgot who was clowning me. It was like, yo, how many other ways are you going to get words, like, tattooed on your body?
Yeah, you get stuck sometimes. It's like, damn, that's really all I want to do. And agape is like familial love, isn't it?
Greek is for all. It's just unconditional love. That's the actual, the root meaning is unconditional love. So not just familial.
Well, I know there's different ones for different meanings of love. Because I know at one of the old churches that we used to go to a long time ago, they had a program called the Agape Program. But I think it had to do with like adopting or something like that. Yeah. So I thought it was like a certain vibe of that type of love. But that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
What about me?
Yeah, one of your texts. What's the meaning?
Which one? I don't know. I have maybe.
Let's talk about your phoenix.
The phoenix? Oh, I got the. So I had a phoenix. Man, I don't know. Remember when I got it originally. So I got one and it was smaller on my side. And I think I kind of got it around. Or I was thinking around like changing, or like I could feel like a me was dead and different, and I think maybe mostly around like communication and just I don't know ways that I acted that was just I don't know I got a little softened up a little bit more around that time, and so that was kind of thinking about like a new me has risen type vibe. And then over the years I had got it larger. I covered up the little one that I had, and the guy started doing a larger one, and then used that to cover up a couple different ones. And then I never got it finished. It was like so much ink on it, though. That was maybe over 10 years ago that I got that. So also it's like, yeah, I'm just never gonna finish there or do anything else with it, because it's like way too much ink there already.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That's cool. I didn't know. And I didn't know it was a cover up. Whenever she posted the picture for this question, I was like, oh damn, that was a cover up.
Because it was a smaller one, and then he like made it, added to it. And then I used to have, my very first tattoo I ever got was these a treble staff of notes. And the notes were the initials of like this guy that like I was in love with when I was like 16. His name was Bargov. He was Indian. and the notes were BDD, like for his initials. And I was so pissed off because I had a dream about the tattoo. And then I woke up and drew it. I was like, ooh, I could draw, you know, music notes. A lot of mine are guys related, actually. I was like, ooh, I could do his music notes and have their initials. And I drew it. I took it to the place. And they're like, all right, bet. And they put it on me and did it. And I was like, no, I wanted you to, like they took my exact crooked ass drawing. So this shit was crooked as hell. I was pissed. And then it was in like the tramp stamp space. So it was like, it was just crooked as hell. I hated it because I'm like, bruh, that was just my idea for you.
You were supposed to stylize that hoe.
Yeah, you were supposed to like make the line straight. It was bad. It was just all, it was stupid. And I hated it. So that's why I definitely was like, I had to get that covered up because I hated that. Like, that was my first experience though. And I just, I don't know. I didn't, maybe I didn't know, but they really just was like, here you go.
Aw, that's some host. That's some host stuff. I'm glad you got that covered up. And I did not know that a lot of your tats were men related.
The Phoenix, I just can't really remember all the way. But yeah, this one is. This one's a name. This is a name. This is somebody's handwriting. What else? A few others.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, look, everybody on me somehow.
All right, so one of the responses I got was, I have a mother-daughter tattoo with my mom. Same symbol, but the larger part represents her. The smaller part represents me. And it was her first tattoo, so I thought that was really special. Then I went back home and visited a few months later, and she had already got another one.
That's funny. I thought of one that could be a good one to get with somebody. I just don't know how where they would go, but like something where it's like you each have a wine glass, but when you put them together, mm-hmm. they clink. That's what I wanted to...
Oh, that would be cute.
Yeah, I actually have a couple friends that might be more pertinent for them. Another one says, I have Let It Be and the notes to the chorus on my wrists. It was the first song I learned by myself on the piano, and my mom loved the Beatles. It was played at both of my parents' funerals as well. Oh, that's sweet.
Aw. Someone said, I have a black and shaded lotus flower for a friend that passed. She loved that flower because it thrives in a dark place and is still beautiful. I love that I carry that every day for her.
That's sweet. Lotus is what grows on the... lily pad? I'm tripping. Mm-hmm.
No, that's it. That's mm-hmm. it. Yeah, that's like, you know, no mud, no lotus. It's a big symbol for mm-hmm. transformation, growth, yoga, peace, all that.
The next one says, one of my matching tattoos is with my husband and one of our daughters. It has our initials, we're all JB, written in rune up the trunk of a palm tree. The J means harvest, ripe, harmony, and the B is for patience, peace, and new beginnings. We got it in Hawaii at our favorite tattoo parlor, and the artist that did it sadly passed away unexpectedly less than a year after. Aw, lots of love and meaning for us with it.
Aw. Another one said, I saw a tattoo fundraiser for a breast cancer research and jokingly asked my mama if she wanted to get matching tattoos. She had gone through chemo for breast cancer a few years before that. Surprisingly, she did not have tattoos but said yes, so now we have matching breast cancer ribbons.
That's cute. A lot of matching ones.
Mm-hmm.
The last one says, I was sad and my tattoo artist reached out to me and cleared his day so I could come down and be tattooed and hang out and talk about things. That's super cool.
Yeah,
some people have like a good relationship with like their tattoo person, and I've just always kind of been random.
My tattoo artist is dope. I love mm-hmm. him, and he's tatted. I was making
did
a joke.
All yours?
No, he only did the side one and my wrist one, but he's tatted all my friends' titties. I be joking mm-hmm. because he tatted Rick right in between like this little place for like three or four of my friends.
That's the guy who did my
uh-huh.
No, I got the titty stamp.
That's what I was laughing.
What's his name?
Poncho.
Poncho, that's right.
Poncho the artist. Yo, y'all go follow him. And art is my drug. He does such great work in South Central.
And he got me right at a party.
Yo, he's awesome.
Like 1, 2, 3, 4. Mine are from like a party too. So
from LA parties,
whatever. Yeah, but I like that.
Okay, so thank y'all for answering. Someone hit me and was like, yo, I really enjoy the questions from the couch every week. And so we enjoy all the really thoughtful answers and the intention and time y'all put in behind those. So appreciate you.
Maybe one time we need to, what they're really supposed to be used for, the questions, is people to ask us questions. So maybe one day we can do an episode where we say, ask us anything, and then we can go through it.
Mm, yeah, I like that. So that'll be
whatever
upcoming.
Makes us not have to plan.
But speaking of planning, so... recently, Lexi went to a silent retreat, and so that is what we're here to talk about today. What made you want to try this?
Explain what this is. Okay, so I signed up for a silent retreat. A couple of things actually led up to me actually doing it. One was I'd visited, so the place that it was at was called the Shrine... the Lake of Self-Realization or something like that. Mm-hmm. I guess I should know the name, sorry. And it's up near like Pacific Coast Highway, so it's like very close to the beach, up a little more north from in LA, but like up north. And while I was in the Bahamas over the break, one of the books that I read, because I had went through my books that I had brought, and then I grabbed something off the shelf, and in the book, it was really random. The guy in the book went to a silent retreat for like a couple of days, And so it just kind of re-jogged the memory of being like, oh yeah, like I know when we're podcasting, we've talked about, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And also I had been to the lake maybe a few years ago just to go to the actual lake part, which is open to the public anytime. And I remember them saying like, oh yeah, we also have like a free retreat up there. And I just remember like it clicked in my head like, oh, they had like a free silent retreat up there. Mm-hmm. And so something, I guess, like just sparked it in my mind a few months ago. It's April now. I was there during Easter weekend. And so it was like a few months before that that I signed up, probably when I came back from the Bahamas, actually. And I saw, too, I was like, oh, okay, because it's like, oh, you can make a donation. They're suggested donations like $150 a day. And, you know, it had all the information there. So I was like, oh, why not? Like, it's not, you know, anything crazy. So I just signed up for it. And that's why, mm-hmm. I mean, that's like how it like came to my mind. And then I kind of asked like why I wanted to do it.
Why did you want to try it?
Well, cause I just didn't know. I wanted it to have some kind of effect on me. Like I wanted to feel like, whoa, I learned some big thing, or, you know, there's some groundbreaking something that would come out of being silent for a few days. And I also wasn't sure. I was like, man, would it be hard for me? Or would it be like, would I be chilling? So I kind of just had a lot of questions and I just wanted to see how, like what it would do. And I was hoping maybe it would continue to grow me in some kind of way.
Yeah. It's kind of symbolic. It was Easter weekend too. And we were just talking about a phoenix. So that's interesting.
Because they had a lot of, so the thing I realized when I was there, I was like, oh, this is a religion. Or not, I don't know if it's a religion, but it's like a spiritual based mm-hmm. group that does run the thing. Mm-hmm. So they did have, and then what I realized is I was like, maybe I should look into this more, because I'm like, is this maybe part of, you know, a thing that they're supposed to do like in their journey? And it's called the Self-Realization Fellowship. And I should ask you if, the guy who's the leader of it, or was, he's an Indian guy, but his last name's Yogananda. Mm-hmm. And so like, he talks like, you know, autobiography of a yogi and all that is stuff that he wrote. And so I kept seeing, you know, the name, and I would see yoga and stuff in different places. And I was like, well, I wonder how closely, like, is this the same yoga, you know, as what is practiced when you're doing the, you know, moving and posing and stuff, and like what the connections were there. I wasn't really that sure, but.
Yeah, I was about to say, if it's Yogananda, then yeah, that's like a lot of the basis for yoga, and it is practice. And
he does it.
He's not the founder of yoga, uh-huh. but like his trainings, they're all like in alignment, mm-hmm. like all of the things. And we actually have to read that in yoga teacher training.
Okay, that's what I wondered, like if that's like where the name came from or anything, or exactly how close it was, because there were things that people did. So they some of the things that they had, because they had a structure, but you didn't have to do it. Mm-hmm. Like you could kind of do what you want. But they had like a chapel space where it's like, that's where they would have meditation. So they would say, oh, group meditation at, you know, certain times. A couple of those times though, they had a TV thing in there, and they would play like a Zoom. Like you could tell, like, you know, people all over might be tuning into this broadcast at the same time to meditate together or to do whatever. And they'd always have a few words or say something. But there was a couple things that they did. I was like, whoa. And everybody around me started doing it. I was like, oh, I guess y'all know what's going on. And I was like, I don't know. But they would talk about like, something, the healing, something and something. And then everybody started doing this thing with their hands. I was like, I don't know what y'all doing, but they were like this. Like, and then they did something else. And I was like, all right. But it was kind of interesting. I was like, in my head, I was like, yeah, should I be scared? Because like, I don't really know like what y'all doing exactly. But it didn't feel wrong or like, you know, it wasn't like we were like stabbing a calf or anything and like making sacrifices.
I'm glad that I would have come to get you very quickly.
Yeah, so I had my head on a swivel a little bit still, but I was like all right, but this is all like some love and peace type stuff. So I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I was about saying, this is an energy thing.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Yeah,
it was,
this is an energy thing, and then you can feel it.
Energy is something, and everybody together was like,
yeah.
And I was like, all right.
So the first time I ever heard about a silent retreat was Vipassana. It's like Vipassana. And it's a 10-day silent retreat. And Tibet, the artist who was recently on the podcast discussing bipolar disorder, she had went. And it's like 10 days. And that's
what
the first
is that
time.
One through, though? Because somebody else asked me if I did that. So that's like an official thing.
That's
too.
An official. So, but it's not like through, there's not like an entity that is like the official, like we do silent retreats.
But it's it's the name of the practice, but it's actually a tenet in Buddhism. Mm-hmm. So that's what I looked up, because I was like, well, where is the origin of mm-hmm. silent retreats? And so it's a Buddhist meditation technique mm-hmm. known as Vipassana, which means seeing things as they really are. And Vipassana is based on self-transformation through self-observation. Mm-hmm. And so silent retreats were kind of born out of this concept of trying mm-hmm. to like get to yourself.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I was the most stressed out before going, and I was overthinking so crazy because I remember, like, all of a sudden, just like when I've gone on, like, a vacation for once, and it's like, all of a sudden, you'd be like, but I had all this stuff all of a sudden I got to do. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, doing the most, rushing around, and I was just, like, really stressed out. And I caught myself thinking, like, all right, like, I was just overthinking, and, like, I wonder what I'm going to get out of this, and what about this or what about that? And I was like, Lex, like, you're already trying to think about, like, what's the lesson? And the point is, like, you have to be present. So I really had to be like, all right, stop trying to be like, I think this or I think that or what about this? And, like, just chill and just do it. So I was like, that's so crazy, because I felt like I was going into it like, oh, man, how am I going to be able to, like, get content if I don't really have my phone and da-da-da-da? I'm like, how am I going to show people what happened there? And actually, I do have hella pictures and videos and stuff, but dang, I forgot to do something with it. But the place was so beautiful, and there was times I went around and got stuff of the place too, so I could be able to, like, share or show people the things that they had, like, on the walls and all over the place.
Did you set any official goals before you went? Like, I know you said you were trying, like, to think about what would happen, but did you like, set a goal for the week?
So, like, that's what I stopped trying to do, because that's what I was thinking, like, maybe I should set a goal, maybe I should have an intention, so blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, just go and just mm-hmm. be present and just do it. I was thinking so hard about all that at first.
What was it like? Because in yoga, whenever they talk about, you know, it's like the they call it the mind monkey or like mental chatter. Mm-hmm. And like, that's really the purpose of yoga. So yoga is not for your mm-hmm. physical body. It's for your mental. It's like for your mental, like, aspect to help you get past all the mental chatter and find that pocket of peace with yourself. Mm-hmm. And to get past that. And so, what was the experience like? Were you able to do that? Was that anything that happened?
I think it was just so restful. You know, the only thing that was, not that it was hard, but just wasn't intuitive, is like when people keeping the door open for you or something, like saying thank you. That was the only time that I'd be like, oh no, actually, so funny story. So I checked in, you check in at around 2. I checked in at 2 on Thursday, and then dinner was like at 5:30. So I went to the room. First of all, the room was fire. I had my own, like, my room was in the far corner, so I had my own bathroom. I had a balcony. I could see the water and all the stuff. And I was like, well, shoot, let me sit down a little bit. And I ended up taking a nap. And then I guess I just passed away. I don't know what was happening. I was knocked out. And then I heard doo, doo, doo on my door. And I was like, huh? I was like, oh, my bad. I'm coming. Like, I was just immediately And then I was like, wait, what? Like, where am I? And she's like, oh, I just wanted to see if you were coming up to the dinner. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks, because shit. Like, I was about to miss that jump. And I was like, dang, I didn't mean to be asleep, because they had said something earlier about, like, oh, when there is dinner time, they would hit a gong. And they were like, yeah, you'll definitely hear, you know, if you're in the compound, you will hear the gong. So I was like, bet, I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to hear the gong. Man, she woke me up. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what time it was. I was just like, oh, my bad. Like, and I was talking, and I was like, oh, shoot, Lex. Like, all right, now I remember where I was. Mm-hmm. And from there, I didn't have no issues with the talking part. Outside of being woke up like that, but like when people would clean your plates in the room where we're eating and stuff like that, you want to, yeah, like it was just a lot of smiling because you're like,
thank you.
Yeah, because you want to say thank you. And then I remember the second day, the only thing I surprised myself, because I had got all dressed and cleaned up and I was in the mirror and I was like, let's get ready to have an adventure. And I was like, ooh. And I was like, why did I even say that out loud? Like, that wasn't even...
Talking to yourself.
Yeah, like, I was by myself anyway. But I was, like, ready for adventure. And I was like, oh. So that was it. And then I was judgy because there was this one other lady, the Polish lady. I said, she kept trying to whisper to people. And I was just like, But it wasn't hard. And I got so much rest because, like, what else was I going to do? Between the meals, which it was so fire actually having the meals be like 8 o'clock, 12:30, 5:30, 6, whatever it was. And all their meals were fire. They were vegetarian meals and they were all really good. I tried to remember a lot of them because I was like, damn, it was thorough. They were good. And between eating, then it's like, okay, let me meditate for a little bit. Then maybe I'll sit on my balcony. It's like, well, let me take a nap. then like, well, let me go walk around the lake. So I'd do a few miles around the lake, walking around there a zillion times. I saw Sinbad one day at the meditation lake, and I was like, damn, I can't talk. So they gave us these pins, too, because the lake part is public, like, and people come to it, so we'll have to go. Sometimes you can actually see it. But the lake part is public. And so we had these little signs that said, like, SRF Shrine Retreat in Silence. But really, they just made everybody think that I worked there. Because, like, because at least three people tried to talk to me. So I was like, bet. For after that, I took the thing off, because I'm like, ain't nobody trying to talk to me if I don't have no damn tag on. So, like, one guy was like, hey, excuse me. And I'm just like looking at him. He's like, do you work here? And I was like, just pointing to my thing. And he was like, oh, you know, obviously, too, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. But like, he was like, oh, my bad. And this other black lady. And I felt bad. I couldn't talk back to her because I was like, damn, I know she just wanted to chat it up. But she was like, she's like, girl, how many times you walk around here? And I was like, and she was like, huh? And she's like, oh, go ahead. So I was like, damn, my bad. And then I saw Sinbad chilling out there. And, you know, he just had his stroke. I'm pretty sure it's him. Like, there's a 0.5%. It might not have been him, but I'm pretty sure it was him. Because I also saw some other black people kind of look at him like, is that somebody? But, like, he's just out there chilling. Looking, I couldn't even, like, say nothing. So I had to hit him with the respect. Like, a little, like, peace be to you, nod. But it was kind of cool because even in, like, walking around this lake and there's so many flowers and trees and all stones and all these things. And I was looking at things. I was looking for things. I saw this cool snail, or when everybody else was looking at other stuff and I'm seeing this, or I'm looking at these turtles, or, you know, paying really close attention to little things just because it's like, that's my stimulation at that point. But that's literally all I did was like, and then go to bed by like 8:39. Yeah, so I got so much sleep, maybe like 18 to 20 hours each day. Never got old.
I love that for you. When people typically do the silent retreat, some of the goals or that, you know, they will go for, or what they like, even on the websites, because I went to a couple of Vipassana websites to see like what they're offering. And they said, you know, to quiet all the noise, to turn into yourself, allow you to rest, recharge, channel your attention inward, opportunity to slow down, provides the opportunity to experience aspects of our inner landscape, which we usually keep hidden, detox, and then also recognize how we use words to connect or to push people away or to determine our own worth. And did you walk away with any of that? Like, I know you said rest and recharge.
Yeah, it was actually kind of funny because I don't feel like I had any, like, aha, like, type moment about anything. And what's interesting about that, too, is, like, I don't know, why was I even looking for that? I guess, you know, because we always like opportunities to, like, get some insight. But I didn't. And I was like, dang, maybe I'm already amazing and perfect, like, before I even came out here. And also I thought about maybe it's like, just like with a nutritionist, like once I'm starting to do it right, then I go see him. It's like, oh, I kind of feel chill and I'm going to this thing, but it wasn't a challenge really in that way. I will say Vipassana is the one that's like 10 days, right? Yeah, so like that might have been really wilder. By the end of the third day, like I left 3-4 hours early on the Sunday, but that's because I had to get a run in, and then it was my friends were doing like a potluck for Easter and all that, so that was just a matter of like, all right, y'all, I'm kind of done with y'all, because they had like a special service and stuff, and I was like, I'm good on that. So I did leave a little early, but I was ready. I was ready to be like, all right, I want to go hang out with my friends and stuff. But it was funny because all that resting I did, all that no talking and all that, and literally the Monday after, I didn't do anything else because I was like, I felt like I still needed a weekend, which is weird. And so I remember being like, dang, like, I don't feel like doing nothing on Monday. And maybe like kind of a calmness carried over, because then also in one of my meetings with one of my clients, she was like, oh, you sound mad relaxed. And I was like, I guess, you know, you could say that, whatever. Anyway. So I think I was chill. I think it did reset a little bit of like, no, whatever that means, but you probably know what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can I say?
Would you do another one?
Yeah, I would do another one. I think what I got mostly out of this, too, a couple questions I remember that I did write down was this self-realization in Yogananda. They pull a lot from, like, original Christianity, like, before a lot of things just got changed. They pull from original Christianity. They pull from Bhagavad Gita's. They pull from some of the different religions mm-hmm. for the things that they're talking about, right? And then I was thinking, and I don't know if this is their official thing, but like one of the things you keep seeing everywhere was these seven people. So it'd be like, I don't even know who this guy was. He looked like a fake Gandhi. It was like a Indian looking guy, Jesus, Krishna, you know, all the people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. All of them seem kind of Indianish, minus Jesus was like the only white guy out there. And it made me think like, reminder to self. And I think I wrote it somewhere on something right there. African religions. I was like, reminder to self, I would like to look into, like, what are those, like, ancient or very, very traditional from the African continent mm-hmm. religions? Because I'm like, I wonder why certain ones didn't make the cut here or, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I thought about from this is, like, I want to explore that because they were really about, like, getting back to basically, like, you know, some of the basics of that stuff, which is, like, love and peace and all that and recognizing your power and what you can realize in your life. And so it just made me curious about that. So that's something I would like to look more into. And then also I wrote down, get the water carafe in the cup because they had these fire, they had these fire water things in the room and the cup was like the top. But you take it, you had to go fill it up yourself. And I was like, Danny, you want those in my office? Cool.
Yeah.
So that was just another thing I was like, I remember to write that down when I get back. But yes, I would love to do it again. I think it'd be cool to do it with people you know.
Yeah.
I saw there was a couple couples and they kept being like, and I was wondering, like, how would that be if, like, you also committed to not talking to the person, too, if you're, like, in the same room and all mm-hmm. that? That could be interesting. And I came away from it being a little more curious about the Self-Realization Fellowship and Yogananda and all that. Because all the teachings and stuff were pretty good. And they made sense. And they were aligned with the types of things that we talk about as far as, you know, creating your life and, like, you know, being of service and all those types of things.
Yeah, that sounds interesting and also a little different than Vipassana because you don't talk, they don't talk at all. Like, not even the people. There's not.
Yeah, they threw me off when they did it.
Like, yeah, they started talking a little. Like, that's, and one day, they don't talk in Vipassana.
Well, there's no, nobody's leading anything, though. It's just that, I guess, part of the programming was like if they would have, hey, you can come up to the group thing and they would play it like a broadcast. So they're like talking to you.
They don't have none of that.
Yeah, and then there was one of the days they had one of the monks from the ashram, which was, like, connected kind of down there, too. He came in and was, like, while we were eating silently, he was talking about how, like, yes, when you're in the monk thing, what we do is we eat our meals silently, and then there's usually one brother who, like, you know, they say a few words from one of the books or something and blah, blah, blah. So he, like, did a little thing. He was kind of fire, though. Like, he's spending some – I was like, damn, he's spending some game a little bit. He was talking about, like, what's your most successful failures? I was like – he was spitting, but – yeah, so, like, when they did kind of talk, I'd be like, what am I supposed to say back? Or, like, what am I just here? And there was a couple little or things mm-hmm. they did. And I was just like, all right, let's see what y'all talk about. But, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I think that silent retreats, and you could go to a place. So I know in LA we have an abundance of those, but maybe not everywhere in the country does. But I think it can be great for detox or any of those other benefits of, like, trying to really get past that mental chatter and all the stress of our everyday life and really in touch with yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to dive headfirst, definitely look up some Vipassanas.
Yeah. I was actually kind of surprised. I wasn't impressed about, like, my phone very much. I didn't charge it all weekend. It's like my phone was good all weekend. I just turned it. Like, some nights I turned it all the way off, and then I kept it on, looking at time. Or if I was going to the lake, I would take it so I could take pictures and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I was walking, like, so I could connect, like, my Garmin with my phone, I would take it off of Bluetooth. So I had Bluetooth on and off a little bit. Or not Bluetooth, like, airplane mode on and off. Mostly because it was, like, notifications. Like, if I did take it off to connect or something, and there's, like, all these stupid notifications, and I was like, I don't really want to look at that. But, yeah, it wasn't too difficult. I was actually, there was one time I was like, dang, man, I left my phone in the room because I want to take some pictures of that lake. And I was like, you still got two more days. Like, it's whatever. It's okay. Like, it shouldn't be that deep. But it was kind of weird. And that first night, too, when they woke me up all hard, I remember grabbing, that's the first thing I did. That's the only night because I wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
Like, I grabbed my phone, put it in my pocket, and I went to dinner and, like, put my phone on the table. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm about to look at something. Yeah, and I was like, let me put that up.
I feel like that'd be the hardest part is, like, the picking up your phone because, but if you know you can't, then you probably would just not use it. But then for me, I'm like, I talk to myself a lot and I would not do that. And so,
yeah, sometimes, but even, you know, what's crazy is you actually feel comfortable. Like, sometimes actually just picking up my phone and it's like, what can I do on here? Not really nothing. But I still kind of feel good, like, pick up a little bit sometimes. And I just kind of look and be like, can't really do anything right now. So, leave it. But it was interesting.
Yeah. So, cheers to some more experiences that, you know, just trying new things and new adventures, but also anything to get your chi on fire, your energy aligned. If you have done a silent retreat, I would love to hear, like, we would love to hear from you and maybe what that was like. Yeah.
And if you're in LA area, look into the...
Look, you've been selling them up. They need a...
Self-realization fellowship. No, it was interesting. I didn't quite grasp, like, how deep was this, like, sect thing until, like, I know when that monk guy was talking this too, he was like, he asked one of the guys, he's like, and he threw me off. I was like, bro, I was pissed off because he was like, let's go around the room and everybody say, like, where are you from? I was like, we're not supposed to be talking.
That's what I'm like, it ain't all sound like no.
Right. But that's the only time anybody, like, specifically talked to us. And I was like, does he not know the program? Like, but had it not been for him, though.
Whose man is this?
Right. I was like, but if it had not been for him, I wouldn't have known, like, it was, I was like, oh, that's cool. Because there was, it's actually kind of more diverse than I would have thought. Like, one guy had come all the way from Rome. He was an older guy. And he was like, oh, how long have you been on the path? So that's when I was like, oh, wait, what are y'all talking about? He's like, 70 years or something. Oh. I was like, okay. And there was a couple from, like, Poland. There was another lady from Poland. There was one woman who was from Ecuador. Like, because you could tell, like, she didn't really speak English, like, super fully. So it was interesting. I was very surprised. There was a few different Indian couples, one Indian lady, another Indian guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was kind of mostly, like, white people. I was the only black person. But I was surprised there was really kind of, I didn't know, what to expect. So it was interesting for that too.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I definitely
it seemed like a couple of them. I was like, man, could I be friends with them? I don't know. Like, we ain't talking, but it was like, I wonder if I could be friends with a couple of these people. But I could tell now which ones, you know, were LA based. But a lot of people had come here, like from Chicago, or this guy came from Rome or Ecuador. And I was like, oh, it's kind of deep. That's why I was like, is this part of, like, the something you have to do? I don't know.
Yeah, for their path.
But they have a few different ones, so. In different places around the country.
Yeah, so if you're interested, research that and hit us at Carly's Couch.
Oh, is that the end of the episode? Mm-hmm. Oh, my bad. Have a great week.
Bye, y'all.